honored to have Brother and Sister Strekos here tonight. They have been our friends for a long, long time. Missionaries to the country of Honduras. Went there and founded the work and did a tremendous, tremendous job. Had the privilege to go there and with Brother Strekos, Sister Strekos several years ago and to build a building, church building. We built the building, 8 or 10 days? 8 days, I think it was. Amen. That was with the, I'm not talking about we built it with novices, because I sure was a novice. And a group of Bible college young men, my, we had a time. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. And it was so fun, we did it again the next year in Mexico. Amen. This is a true Christian. I think the thing I most outstanding about Brother Strekos to me is just he's a genuine Christian. Amen. And he's a great preacher and a great minister of the gospel. Brother Strekos, come. God bless you. Good to have you here tonight. Amen. Thank you.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord again. On the way up, my wife said, I can't believe it's been almost a year since we were here. And it was. We were on our way to Honduras last January and stopped in here a day or two before we flew out. And it's been almost a year. My, how time flies. And when you're living for God, you're having fun. And it really goes by fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Grissom. It's a pleasure to be here and always with our friends. It's a pleasure. Amen, amen. We have been co-missionaries, but in different countries. We didn't get to see each other when we was on the mission field, but that's the way missionaries operate. Sometimes you go a long way from anybody you know, but you've always got him with you. He is always with you, praise God, and that's the consolation that when he sends you, he'll go with you. He'll be with you. Amen. We've got our three sons are now in Honduras, missionaries. Brother Hart was asking me about the youngest, Mark. He and his wife moved into a brand new city where we have never had a Pentecostal church. Just didn't have the resources, didn't have anybody to send in, no open doors. But the Lord has opened the door for them. They have baptized two have received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And their last Sunday night, they just sent us an email. They had 19 in service. That sounds like they're well on their way. Hallelujah. Amen. Another city about 20 miles away has opened up and they've got a Bible study going there. And I'm telling you, when you're working for God, there are no shortage of open doors. If you will make yourself available, even in your city, there are open doors that God will direct you to. Amen. And it's exciting working for God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Grisham, for this privilege to be here one more time, and to share the word of the Lord with you. Amen. We'd like for you to stand, and we will read from the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 28th chapter. And I want to begin reading with the 11th verse. Amen. Genesis 28 and 11. Thank you, Jesus. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 28 and the 11th verse. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Amen. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God descending, ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And then shall, sorry, I can't see very good up here. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 15, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee. Hallelujah. And will keep thee. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while about when God says, behold. When God says, behold. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. It's a privilege, Lord, to be in your house. We ask your blessings upon this word tonight. Anoint us, I pray, and anoint our hearts and ears to hear and receive what you have for your people tonight. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. Amen. When God says, behold. Now, the word behold has a very special meaning. Behold is like a command. And what the Lord is really saying when he says, behold, he's saying to you, I want you to stop. I want you to listen. I've got something very important to tell you. But too many times we don't hear the behold. We don't take notice of the behold. And we don't hear what God wants to speak to us. Hallelujah. There's times for worship. There's times for lifting up our voice. And then there's time to be quiet and hear what the Lord has for us. Praise God. Praise God. I realize that many times the circumstances of life, lots of things happen, and we don't know what to do. Sometimes we think we've heard from God. We think we heard him speak to us about something, and then we get confused about it. And we say, well, God, was that really you? Or was I just daydreaming? Was I just thinking you were speaking to me? Now, when you read this story about Jacob, Jacob was fleeing from his brother because he had taken something from Esau that wasn't rightfully his, the birthright. And Esau sent word to him, and he said, Daddy's going to be dead in just a little while, and the mourning time's going to be over, and then I'm coming for you, buddy. I'm coming for you. I'm going to kill you, Jacob, because you stole something that was mine. He stole the blessing. Amen. Because Jacob went in first, if you remember the story, and he had disguised himself with the help of his mama. Disguised himself and stole the blessing from Esau. And then when Esau sent word to him, I'm after you. Amen. Mama went to daddy and said, Daddy, I don't want my son to have a daughter or a wife here from these daughters of these men. Let's send him away. Let's send him back to my place, my uncle's place, my daddy's place. And Isaac thought it was a pretty good idea, so he called him in. He said, son, don't want you to take a wife here, so I'm going to send you back. Go on back. But in reality, what was happening, Mama was trying to cover up. Mama was trying to disguise what was really going on. And there was Jacob that fateful night as he was on his way. And he got tired. The sun was going down. And the Bible said that he took stones from that place where he was,
made his pillow, made his bed, and there went to sleep. Began to sleep, and the Bible said that he dreamed. Dreamed a dream. Now, I don't know about you. I have never in my life, Brother Hart, had a dream that had any significance to it. Never one time. I've had a lot of bean dreams. I couldn't remember what I dreamed the next morning. But I'm telling you, there are people who can hear from God in a dream. And we are not guided by dreams. That's not what gauges how we live for God. But I'm telling you, God can send some confirmations. I know a young lady who sleeps by my side. Amen. Every now and then, she'll have a dream. And my wife will wake up and say, "Oh, I dreamed the strangest dream." And she could tell me in detail, vivid color, what happened in that dream. And when I hear her say, "I had a very distinct dream," I sit up and take notice, because I know that God has spoken to her several times in our marriage and in our ministry. Man, looking for direction. And I didn't get the dream, but my wife could dream a dream, and the Lord would speak the words that we needed and give us direction for our lives. This is what happened to Jacob. Jacob was fleeing for his life, and then he laid down and dreamed a dream, and he saw in his dream a golden ladder that was put in the earth, or the foot of the ladder was in the earth, and it extended up to the heavenlies. And then he saw the angels going up and down. And then he saw the Lord himself, and the Lord spoke to him. Now, what does this mean for us today? You say, "Well, that was several thousand years ago, Brother Shrekis. What significance does a ladder have for us?" I'll tell you what significance a ladder that reaches from earth to heaven has for us. That ladder speaks of an access to God. That ladder speaks of a way. That ladder speaks, hallelujah, of a communication with God himself. Hallelujah to God. We are not isolated. We are not by ourselves. Every sinner in this world has a way to access a holy God. Hallelujah. Everybody has a way that you can connect with God. Every backslider has an access to God, and every backslider ought to thank God every day that the Lord hasn't cut him off, that his mercy endures to all generations. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God could cut a person off, but his mercy is everlasting. His mercy is wonderful, gracious. Hallelujah. That even though a person has gone away from God, even though one has wandered away from what God has planned for his life, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a way of access. There is a communication with God that every living human can have. That ladder of access, that communion with God. Hallelujah. Yes, we can contact him. Have you ever called on him in the middle of the night when you couldn't get a hold of the preacher, when nobody else was around, but you had a definite need? Have you ever called on him? Have you ever said, "Jesus, I don't have anybody else to help me. I need you. And I need you now, Lord. This is an emergency situation." Hey, friend, we've got that communion with God. We've got the communication with heaven itself. And we can call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he is there. Jehovah Tisitkenu. The Lord is there. He's always there when we need him. Oh, thank God for that access. That ladder represents repentance. You see, that's the access. That's That's what a sinner must do in order to have that access to God. Repent. Ask forgiveness of God. Amen. Clean me up, Lord. Forgive me. I want to be clean in your presence. And once you are clean in his presence, there is an access to God. Hallelujah. Like nothing else. Praise God. The Lord always provides a way to contact him. Amen. He always provides a way that we can get in touch with him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 2:1 says that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I like what it says in the Spanish Bible. It says we have a lawyer, an abogado. We have a lawyer. Praise God. He'll take our case. I'm telling you, you can go in before Jesus Christ, his humanity. He is the lawyer. He will represent you well, and he will bring access. Oh, praise God. He'll give you access into the heavenlies. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. The Lord only gave one reason why he would cut somebody off. He said you could sin against everything except the Holy Ghost. There's forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of blasphemy, except blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I really believe that a person, in order to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you have to have received the Holy Ghost. Paul said he was a blasphemer. He put him to death. Put him in prison. He was a blasphemer. He called himself a blasphemer. Amen. But he didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But that's the only biblical reason I can find that the Lord will cut a person off and say, that's it. There's no more access. Thank God that we have access. Amen. When we fail him, we have a way to get back to him. When we do something that is not pleasing to him, we have a way to get back to him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He sacrificed for our sins, so he gave us that way of access. You read the story of David. David needed the mercy of God. After he had sinned, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then had her husband Uriah killed in battle, he tried to cover it up. He tried to make it as if nothing had happened. But the man of God came by, Nathan the prophet. And he thought he had it all under the rug and nobody was going to know. He had taken Bathsheba as his wife, and she was to give birth to a child. And he was going to claim that, and everything's going to be all right. But the prophet sat on his living room couch or whatever he had. And he told him a little story. He said, told about a rich man who had a lot of sheep. But he had a little poor neighbor down there that had one little ewe lamb. And it was just like a daughter to him. It ate from his hand. It slept in his bosom. It was just a very, very beautiful little sheep. And it was almost like a daughter. That rich man had a visitor come. He sent to the poor man's farm and took that little ewe lamb and had it slaughtered and dressed and prepared for his visitor. And of course, when David heard that story, he said, that is ridiculous. That man is worthy of death. Point well taken, David, because you are the man. Now what are you going to do, David? Now how are you going to get back in God's good graces? How are you going to function as a godly king? Because the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. How are you going to recuperate that position, David? How are you going to get back into the presence of the Lord? And you read many of the Psalms, amen, where he is saying, oh God, your mercy extends to all generation. Your mercy is everlasting. Oh God, restore in me a right spirit. Create in me a new heart. Oh my God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I need your mercy. I need your touch. I need the way of access into the throne room. I need to contact you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You see, David was worthy, and the law stated that he should have been stoned. But the prophet said, the Lord said, tell him that his sin is put away. And he's not going to die, but he's going to suffer all of the repercussion. He's going to suffer all the pain. 9 atrocities, horrible things happened in David's life and David's family for 25 long years. David suffered, and he wrote about it. He sang about it, how merciful God was, because he knew there was a way of access. There was a way of coming back into the presence of God. If you are in this service tonight and you are away from God, let me tell you that the mercy of God is extended to you. Hallelujah. Because his mercy is everlasting. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. We can communicate with him because he's made that way of access. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the ladder. Thank you for that means of accessing your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that we can come boldly. Hebrews chapter 4 and 16th verse. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Aren't you glad you have that privilege tonight? You can come boldly before the throne of God. The access that God has made available to every one of us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We can come into his presence. The Bible said that we're made to sit in heavenly places. Wonderful feeling to know that you're in touch with the Lord. Wonderful feeling. What else did Jacob see? Well, the Bible said that he saw angels of God ascending and descending. Now, I know there are people who do not believe what I'm going to tell you tonight. There are even preachers who do not believe that there is a ministry of angels. And they kind of laugh it off and joke it off and say, well, that's just something of your imagination. But when you begin to study the Word of God, angels have a very, very important part in our living for God. In fact, the Bible said that the spirits of the angels are ministers that are sent to the heirs of righteousness. It also says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He dispatches them to do his bidding. There is a ministry of angels. Even in this 21st century, there is activity, angelic activity around the church of the living God, around the saints of God. There is a mighty spiritual web that is put over the house of God and the people of God. The angels are sent to be ministering spirits. Not too long ago, I spoke to a young evangelist that had gone to the island of Vanuatu. This is in the Solomon Islands in the Pacific. And when he came back, he was so impacted. He said, "Brother Shrekeyes, I was standing on the platform, and I looked back at the back of that building, and I saw four of the biggest angels I had ever seen in my life." He said it looked like they were 10 or 12 feet tall. And he said they were just observing what was going on. And then I saw them as they raised their wing and just kind of fanned it over the crowd. And when that happened, he said there was a mighty Holy Ghost explosion. People were going to receive the Holy Ghost every time they'd raise their wing and just flap it over that congregation. People would get healed of sicknesses and diseases, and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Bible talks about the angelic host. Oh, they desire to look into what we have. Angels don't receive the Holy Ghost like we do. They're just created beings. Satan was a created being, but he rebelled against God and was kicked out. And that's why you got a devil, and that's why you got demonic spirits with him. He pulled a third of the angels with him. Pretty influential, isn't he? Have you ever dealt with him? Have you ever had anything, any encounter with the devil when he talks to you in this ear and says, "No, what you hear on this side's not right. What you read in the Bible, that's not right. Listen to me. I'll give you a good life. I'll give you a good time." And he can do that. There's a lot of places you can have a good time according to the flesh. But I'm telling you what he can't give you, and that's peace of mind, peace of soul. Hallelujah. He cannot save you. He cannot give you that glorious feeling of salvation in your soul, because he doesn't have the... He's a fallen creature himself, and he's pulling everybody he can down with him. Oh, he's a slick talker. He ever talk to you? You ever heard the devil talking to you? Oh, yeah. And he knows just how to be convincing. That's just like the magicians when Moses and Aaron went down to Egypt. Moses cast down the rod, it became a serpent. And the magicians there said, "Wow, we can do that." Cast their rods down, and they started wiggling like snakes too. But something happened. That rod of Moses, the Bible said, began to tragar, began to swallow up all those other culebras. Hallelujah. Began to swallow them up. And Moses just reached down, picked up his stick, his rod, and it became a rod again. And theirs had disappeared. I'm here to tell you that everything the devil offers you, it may seem good now, but it's going to disappear. There's not going to be any power. There's not going to be any miracle potion. There's not going to be any blessing. It appears for a while and just fades away. But what you and I have tonight, well, praise God, what you and I have tonight, it's powerful. It's powerful enough to deliver us from sin. It's powerful enough, hallelujah, to save us from a devil's hell. It's powerful enough to keep our feet on that solid rock. It's powerful enough to give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the power of God. It will last forever. You see, the devil could use his magicians, and they could duplicate what Moses did, but they couldn't undo it like Moses did. The devil's a copycat. Don't you ever forget it. He's a copycat. Tries to copy all the good things of God and then present them to you. Tries to deceive you by being a copycat, but he cannot be a reproducer of what the Holy Ghost power can do in your life. The devil just cannot do it. He can bring a man down to the bondage of drugs and to be a slave to drugs and alcohol. He can bring a person down to be a slave of whatever vice there is out there, but he can't set you free. Once a slave, always a slave. Until you come in contact. Perhaps it is angelic activity. I don't know. But somebody, as they begin to pray, some mother on her knees before God begins to have that access to God and say, God, my son, my daughter, oh God, my husband, my uncle, my aunt, oh God, would you send your angel, hallelujah, tap them on the shoulder, do whatever you need to do, God, but bring them back in, bring them back into the ark of safety. And God, who hears, perhaps says to one of his angels, Benga, hallelujah, I want you to go over there. There's a special person. But Lord, they're sitting there in a tavern. They're sitting on a bar stool. Oh, that's okay. Just go on and tap them on the shoulder and let them feel that radiating spirit that I'm going to send with you. Let them feel it. And that angel goes down and just stands right beside that guy sitting on the bar stool. Hey, bartender, give me another one. And that angel just kind of rubbed him. Brother Grissom, you were right. Just kind of rub that Holy Ghost on him a little bit. Rub that Spirit of God. And that angel just stands by that bar stool and just kind of rubs over on him. It's, whoo. Bartender, I don't think I want that one. Take it back. I just feel strange. I feel something different. I've never felt. I believe I'm going to go on home. I just feel like crying. I don't know what's wrong with me. Something's happening to me. I'll tell you what it is. It's a visitation of the angel of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. That's touching, answering prayers. Hallelujah. There is a ministry of angels. Peter was in jail. James had already been beheaded, and Peter was slated for execution. But the saints prayed. And while they prayed, an angel appeared in that jail. Peter was asleep, shackled to two guards. He said, Peter, get up. He thought he was in a dream. And when they came, those shackles fell off. He said, put on your shoes. And when they got out to that first gate, the inner gate, it just swung open. And Peter thought, well, man, this is the greatest dream I've ever had. Man, this is wonderful, a dream. Man, it's just a dream. And they went out to the next gate, and it just opened of its own accord. And when they got to the gate that led to the street, it just opened. Peter and the angel, he didn't know it was an angel, but those two walked outside, and all of a sudden Peter looked this way, and when he looked back, there was no angel. He thought, what happened? And then it dawned on him, this is what the Lord spoke to us about, that he would cause his angels to be ministering spirits. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today that our God still operates in that manner. He still takes care of his people. We were in Spain 3-4 years ago. I was teaching in Bible school there in Madrid. One night in service, Sister Yesenia came. And she was just bubbling over. She was the type of person that just liked to talk and express herself. But she had a message this night. She said, I was coming home from work, from my job, late last night. And I got pretty close to my house. And these two guys jumped out of the shadows. One of them grabbed a hold of my ponytail and jerked me backwards. And the other began to cut my clothes off of me. And I knew what was coming. And all I had time to say was, Jesus, help me. And she said, out of nowhere, an older gentleman, loan me your cane, brother, just a moment. An older gentleman came on his cane, and he saw what was happening. He said, what are you guys doing? And when they heard his voice, they got up and ran off. And this older gentleman picked her up off the ground and somehow found out where she lived. She doesn't remember telling him. She was so distraught But somehow their door, their apartment door opened, and her husband saw what had happened. He said, "What is the matter?" She began to tell him. And very quickly he ran back into the street and said, "Well, I want to thank the gentleman." And he looked this way and he looked that way and he looked all over that neighborhood, and there wasn't an older gentleman there. Do you know who I believe it was? I believe it was an angel of the Lord, amen, that was dispatched for protection. God in his mercy, God in his loving kindness to his people. Hallelujah. Oh yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry of angels. Absolutely. I don't doubt it in the least. Don't doubt it in the least. His angels are ministering spirits. Some of you may have gone to the ladies' conference this past May. Did anyone go to the ladies' conference? At Lufkin, you probably heard Sister Cindy Miller talk about her experience when she stepped on the little plane and made her way to her seat. There was a lady that was blessed, and
hallelujah, thank you. There was a lady that was really blessed, and she had one of her legs laying over on the seat where Sister Miller was going to sit. She had several packages around her, and she was, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. Could you help me put these packages up?" Sister Cindy said she was kind of mumbling under her breath. Why in the world can't this lady take her own anyway? And she helped her get up and she sat down and said they had no sooner taken off than this lady began to say to her, "You're a pastor's wife, aren't you?" "Yes." "You pastor in a certain city?" "Yes." "You're having problems right now?" "Yes." "How did you know?" "Well, just suffice it to know that I know. And there's a lady in the church that's after your husband." "Yes." And began to talk about the finances and everything they were having problems with in the church. Hallelujah. And Sister Cindy was just weeping uncontrollably on that little flight. She didn't know what to do because that woman had told her everything that was going on bad in her life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They got to the airport, taxied in, and the little lady said, "My honey, you just go on. Don't worry about me. I'll come a little bit later." And that was the last she saw of her. You know what I believe? I believe that was a divine visitation. I believe that was an angelic being. Amen. If the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, let me assure you that the angels of God will do his bidding, and they will come to your rescue. They will come when you need him. Behold, he says, the ladder, and behold, take note, the angels ascending and descending. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God really cares about me. Behold, my child. Take notice, my child. I'll send my angels if necessary. I've given you access, and I'll dispatch my angels. They do my bidding. And I have commanded that they encamp around about the heirs of righteousness. Oh, you mean me? You mean the angels of the Lord encamp around about me? Absolutely, my friend. If you have been buried in the precious name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and living for God, amen, I'm here to tell you the angels of the Lord are just right there. They're just right at your call. Amen. It's the ministry of angels. And he said, behold, take note, the angels have access. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he says, and behold, the Lord was at the top of the ladder. Behold, the Lord was at the top of that ladder ascending. That ladder that was going up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, he's always near. He says,
come to me, and I will in no wise cast you out. You know, sometimes a young lady has problems with God. If she's had an abusive father, she's had a horrible home life, that's the concept she has of God. And she really doesn't know if she can even trust him, because she couldn't trust her dad. That image, that fatherly image, is transposed into that image of God in her life. And I have known of young ladies that would come into the presence of the Lord and say, I don't know whether I can trust him or not. I don't know whether I'd give myself totally and completely to him, because I've been defrauded, I've been cheated, and I don't know if I can put my confidence in him. I don't know if he's going to do me the same way my earthly daddy did. And I just can't trust men. I can't trust. I can't trust. I can't trust God. But let me assure you, friend, in that ladder of access, he's right there. Hallelujah. And he will come to you in your greatest hour of need. My God will present himself. He will come to you. It doesn't matter what kind of hang-ups you've had in the past. It doesn't matter how you've been treated in the past. If you can just put your confidence in an Almighty God, hallelujah, that'll be there for you. That'll be there when you need him. He's an ever-present help in times of need. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside. Nobody really cared for him. They'd lead him out there to sit down and beg for alms, just to barely make a living. Somebody might bring him an order of French fries or a piece of bread from McDonald's, whatever. A tortilla, maybe. And there he was, and he heard the commotion. And he said, Who's that? What's happening? Because blind people are very alert. They can't see, but their ears are very sensitive. And what's going on? Well, there's a great multitude. Oh, multitude? Who? Well, it's Jesus. They say it's Jesus of Nazareth come. Oh, Jesus, I've heard of him. And he waited until that multitude got just close enough. And the Bible said that he lifted up his voice and began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And those around him said, oh, be quiet. He's busy. He doesn't have time for a blind man. He doesn't have time for you. He's healing the sick. He's doing a lot of good things. But that man said, I've got need of him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Lord, the Bible said, the Lord stopped, stood still. Oh, I love it when the Lord just kind of stops. When I'm in need, when there's an emergency situation, hallelujah, Jesus, I need you, and you just feel him, he stops. And he says, what is it, my child? Oh, God, my child is sick at the door of death. And as this blind man, they led him up there, and he said, what is it that you need? Oh, Lord, my eyes, I can't see. And the Lord said, you're healed by your faith. I'm telling you that we can reach out to God. I'm telling you that we can see some tremendous miracles and mighty works of God in our midst when we just begin to call on the Lord who is near. Call on the Lord who is near. Call unto me, and I will answer. Oh, thank you, Lord. That little woman that came out of Samaria to draw water, I've often thought that she came at an odd time, because the other ladies wouldn't allow her to draw water with them. She was an adulteress. She had had five husbands, and the one she was with was not hers. But the seventh man came into her life. Jesus was the seventh man. Hallelujah. And he had exactly what she had need of. Hey, let me tell you tonight, it doesn't make any difference where you've been in this world, where you've wandered in this world, what you participated in this world. I'm telling you, Jesus has got the answer for you. Jesus has got the way out for you. Jesus has got the word of faith, hallelujah, that you can receive what you have need of. The seventh man in her life. And it was the right one. It was the right one. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you need something from the Lord today? Have you come like that little woman seeking? Have you come searching? Let me assure you that he's at the top of the ladder. Hallelujah. And his ear is open. He is listening. Hallelujah. He is listening. Do you need a healing in your body? Let me assure you, amen, that the healing power of God is ever present. And if you can just by faith reach up and say, God, I've got to have a healing in my body. I need you to touch me. I need you to heal me. He's right there, and he will do what you ask him.
Brother Shrekhaus, you don't know it, nobody else knows it, but my marriage is just right at the point of disintegration. You know, a lot of times we can cover up stuff. We come to church and everybody thinks, you know, we can raise our hands and it looks like everything's okay on the outside, but on the inside, in those alone times, just husband and wife, there are difficult problems and situations, and maybe it had even come into your mind, I'm going to look for a lawyer, I'm going to file for divorce, I can't take it anymore, I've had enough of it. Even your pastor, you haven't communicated that with him, but I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is the one that can put marriages back together. He's the one that can heal every situation in that relationship. Hallelujah. He is the one that can do the job. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then the last, behold. It said, behold, I am with you. My mind goes back to the disciples when the Lord told them, go into all the world and preach. And the Bible said that after the day of Pentecost, they went in everywhere preaching the Lord, working with them. You never work alone. You never work alone when you're working for God. He'll never put you out there. We went to the mission field, but we didn't go alone. We didn't go by ourselves. We didn't know anybody in the country, but God was already there. God had already prepared the way for us. God had already opened the door for us. Hallelujah to God. I'm here to tell you that he is with us. He is with us. Amen. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible talks about a little woman by the name of Hagar. Sarah had given up on the promises of God, so she took her handmaid and she gave her to Abraham to wife. And there was a son, Ishmael, born. Isaac didn't come around until 13 years later. But I'm telling you, God's promises, and that's another message, but God's promises never fail. If he's given you a promise, hold on to it, because he never fails. He always fulfills what he says he would do. But that little woman, Hagar, got in problems, and Ishmael got in problems with Isaac, and Sarah went to Abraham and said, you got to get rid of her out of this house, out of this tent. I don't want her here anymore. She's causing a lot of problems. So Abraham gave her a little meal, gave her some water, and sent her on her way, blessed her, and sent her on. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? Well, honey, I'm going to give you this little bottle of water and this little lunch, and you just go on now. May the Lord bless you. Go on out in the desert there, and you'll be fine.
But they ate it all up and they drank the water and there wasn't anything else. So she laid the child. Well, he was 13 years old, young boy, laid him over under the shade and went off over this area just to cry and let him die. She didn't want to see it. But the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Hagar, heard the weeping of the boy. I'm with you. Praise God. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Here's some water. Here's food. Here, you're going to be okay. I'm telling you, friend, when you walk with God, and this woman was not the woman of promise. She was a slave. Ishmael was not the promised son. Even though today the descendants of Ishmael would like to take part of that promised land, it's not theirs. It was given to Isaac. It was given to Abraham's seed, to Jacob's seed, repeated over and over again. Amen. And it will be theirs. God's promise is true. It will be theirs in the near future. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you that God is always with us. That early church went preaching. God was with them. Some of those early apostles went to Africa. Some of them went to Asia. Others went to Europe. That's right. They scattered. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it'll tell you where most of them died and how they died. Amen. As martyrs for the gospel, some of them were preaching in India. Some of them were preaching in Africa. I'm here to tell you that God will be with you. God will be with this church. If you'll hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, that same mode of access to God, He's with us. He will stand by us. He will not forsake us. Oh, hallelujah. Because He is God over this church. He is here. He loves us. His mercy is extended toward us. Let's stand tonight. The Syrians came after Elisha. Elisha wasn't disturbed about it, but he sent his little servant out to draw water, and he rushed back in the house and he said, "Oh, my father, the Syrians are all around us, horses and chariots. What are we going to do?" Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like you were encompassed by the armies of the enemy, the powers of hell? And there seemed to be no way out. You didn't have an answer. And it seemed that you couldn't contact God. And He had forsaken you. And you said, "Oh God, what am I going to do?" Just like that little servant lad. Hallelujah. And the old prophet. Thank God for prophets and pastors and ministers that kind of help us keep our equilibrium. That's why the Lord put pastors in the church. For the edifying of the saints, to help you, to preach to you, to teach you, to guide you all the way to glory. And that old prophet just simply said, "Lord, open his eyes." And that young man, when he opened his eyes again, he saw heavenly chariots and horsemen, angelic host that was surrounding them. Mayor es el que está con nosotros que el que está con ellos. Greater is He that is with us than those that are with them. Hallelujah. Greater things we will see if we'll just keep that open communication with our God. Open our eyes, Lord, and help us to realize that You're always there. You never forsake us. You are always present, Lord. And we can call on You any day. hour of the day, any hour of the night, because you are there. You are present. Hallelujah. And if you're looking for a way back to God tonight, let me assure you, He's here, open arms, waiting for you. Waiting for you. If there's anybody here who needs to find that communication with God through repentance, we've got altars here. We've got saints of God to help you. You can weep your way through in repentance. You can make that contact with God. Hallelujah. You can make it with God. We were in a service the other week on a Thursday night. Bible study had already finished. And one of the young people came running out of the children's church area and said, "Oh, the children are praying, receiving the Holy Ghost." And they'd run out of time or run out of things to do in their time. And they said, "Well, let's just play church." And those children began to testify and sing. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Ghost moved in that room. And when the adults got in there, there were children stretched out on the floor. There were some dancing in the spirit. There were some speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, friend, He's always there when you need Him. And if you need Him tonight, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Hallelujah. Somebody's heard the voice of the Lord, and now it's time to respond. Amen. Make your way to this altar tonight. Amen. With an open heart, with a wide open mind, with an open spirit. Have no fear. Just come in faith. Amen. Just come in faith. Hallelujah. He will lead you. He will guide you. Amen. He'll take care of you here tonight. Just come. Make your way. Amen. Don't resist. Don't refrain. Just give in totally.